You're about to hear the Sunday sermon from the Grapevine Church of Christ in Grapevine, Texas, a family who's devoted to giving our lives to and living our lives for Jesus Christ. If you have any questions about today's lesson, visit us on our website, www.grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening.
Well, good morning. So I'm going to start by telling the story. On October the 30th, 1938, something happened in America that would change the world. Change the way lots of different types of news reporting, lots of different types of things happened and information was conveyed. So on October 30th, there was a man named Orson Welles who got up in front of a microphone on the radio and performed a show called War of the Worlds. He told everyone what he was going to do before he got up, introduced the actors, the music played, and then the news broke in and said, something has happened. What's interesting is that back then, channel surfing wasn't really that big of a deal. But for those unlucky thousands of people who happened to turn into this radio station a little too late, for them, the next hour would prove to be the most panic-filled, terrifying, and fearful hour of their life. People were running to the hills. People were moving. They were packing up, going out of the city. You had National Guardsmen that were reporting for duty. And in the place, Ground Zero, New Jersey, people were flocking to the town center trying to see what they could. People were running. They were breaking their arms. It was a fear unlike anything these people had ever experienced. And we look at this and we think, how could they have been that gullible? But what you have to remember is that back then, people trusted the radio. Do you remember whenever we still trusted the news? Can any of you remember back that far? These people in 1938, they had their trust tested for 1 hour on October 30th. It's not much different today, though, is it? So a recent Facebook scam introduced the new, I would say, feature of the iPhone 7. It's the wave feature. And what it said online is that you could recharge your telephone in the fraction of the time. You could recharge it by not sticking into the wall, but if you put it in the microwave for about 30 seconds, then it would completely recharge your phone. It was the new wave technology. And it went all around Facebook, and people were emailing it, and it was on Twitter and everything. And so people started trying it out. This is one picture among hundreds, fires, people saying, by the way, don't try this at home. People angry at this. Why do people fall for these things? You know, it's interesting how much trust we put into things we see on Facebook, isn't it? But the one thing I always go back to a quote from Abraham Lincoln. And it says, don't believe everything you read on the internet just because there's a picture with a quote next to it. Those are words I've lived by for a long time. I guarantee you, someone's in here going, I didn't know Abraham Lincoln said that. The thought of the day that we're going to talk about is this. It is to trust or not to trust. To trust or not to trust. Now, I'm going to do my best today to describe and talk about a word we sometimes misuse and misunderstand. If I don't do a very good job, or if the lights go out on me, then I will do my best to try my best to really make it better, okay? So I don't know why these are going out. I'm sure it's a breaker or something. The word that we're talking about today and for the whole month of October is trust. We're going to talk about trust. Now, trust seems to be something that's harder and harder to understand and to do in this day and age. Maybe it depends on where we're looking. Maybe it depends on the fact that we sometimes offer our trust very willingly and openly. You know, we offer it blindly. We do. You know, sometimes we offer our trust very quickly without much thought or effort. For example, how many of you have clicked and agreed to privacy and internet policies in the last couple weeks? How many of you have blindly just said, I agree? Now, how many of you have actually read what you're agreeing to? One. Good. Great. Out of how many? It's funny. I blindly accept that these people are trustworthy. I say, you know, of course they're not going to put a bot in my computer that's going to turn on my camera on and off at will. Sure, they're not going to do that. I trust them. It's funny. It's at the same time, there are some people who question everything. There's nothing that they do not question. You know, our lack of trust has made us cynical. People that question everything. And I get it. We're in a crazy place. This world has fallen. People are having their identity stolen. I get that. People are breaking promises. Marriages are dissolving. Lawsuits are happening. Trust is almost like a rare and priceless jewel that you only show to someone who's worthy to see it. So this month, we're talking about trust. But first, we need to distinguish trust from faith. And the words have oftentimes been used interchangeably, but at the heart of the two, we'll find that these are two different words, two different ideas. So trust and faith are different concepts. So although we use the words interchangeably, the ideas are different. So in Hebrews 11:1, this is what it says. It says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Now the words for faith and trust in Greek are kind of similar. But the words in Hebrew are much different. So the Hebrew for faith is emunah. Now, emunah is defined something like this. Faith is, it's a constant factor in our life. It's something that we have. It's a belief that we, perceive as a given. Something that is we don't even question. It's not something we can see. It's not something we can even explain. And there's not necessarily anything to back up that faith. It's a belief that we have deeply that guides our thinking and our actions. It's this unequivocal acceptance that God is who he says he is, that he can do what he says he can do, that he created the world, that he is who the prophets and the scriptures say he is. It's a belief that God is God. So in this way, we can think of faith as being a constant aspect in our life. Now, some people's faith may not be that strong. They may not have that much. The belief may not be that deep. They may question the existence of power and providence. Now, Jesus spoke of faith several times in Scripture, but it was usually in the context of how much or how little faith somebody had. So turn to Matthew chapter 8 really quickly. Now here is a man who was not Jewish. He's in a lot of ways the antithesis of what a Jew is supposed to be. He's a centurion. And he asks basically Jesus to heal his servant. And so in Matthew chapter 8 verse 8, he says this, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof. But only speak the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes. To another one, come, and he comes. To my slave, do this, and the slave does it. And when Jesus heard him, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, in no one in Israel have I found such faith. Now, this centurion, he believed that Jesus bore real power. He believed that Jesus bore responsibility, that he bore status. He didn't even question it. He didn't even question the fact that to him, Jesus was a prophet of the Most High God. He was a representative of who God was. He had all the power that a prophet or that God was going to give him. He believed it unequivocally. So Jesus has this way of thinking about faith as this springboard for miraculous things to happen. I love this moment because the man, he didn't even question it. convicting to me. Now, a little bit later in Matthew 21, if you turn to Matthew 21, we're going to be skipping around just a little bit today. He's talking to the apostles about what faith is capable of. And then he says this one little sentence in Matthew 21, verses 22. He says, "Whatever you ask for in prayer with faith, you will receive." I cannot tell you how many times I've prayed that prayer. As a kid, growing up. But I always prayed that prayer with the hopes that I had enough faith that whatever I was praying for would happen. Almost as if I'm praying with my fingers crossed. You know, many times I feel like this man, he's the father in Mark chapter 9. Like I said, we're skipping around. There's this man in Mark chapter 9, and he's asking Jesus, "Hey, Jesus, if you're able, could you heal my son, my child?" And Jesus says this. Hang on a second. He says this. He says, "If you're able," in Mark 9, verse 23, "if you're able," he says, "all things can be done for the one who believes." And immediately the father of the child, he cried out, "I believe. Help my unbelief." I love that moment. It's one of the most honest moments in Scripture. He says, "I believe. Help my unbelief." You know, the key here, I think, is not to pray with our fingers crossed, but as if our prayer's already been answered, as if God's already heard it, as if he's already agreed to it. The prayer that we pray, it's a given. God's going to hear it, and he's going to answer it. This prayer in faith, and I ask myself, do I have this type of faith in God that anytime I pray, God's listening to me? There have been moments when I thought, no, I don't really feel God's listening because I've done this, and I've done this, and I have not. What if we prayed with a faith that every time we spoke to God, he was listening? And the question I ask, do I have that type of faith in him? Do I have that type of faith in his power? Do I have that type of faith in his son, Jesus Christ? Unequivocal. This is emunah. This is faith. Now, the word for trust here in Hebrew is this. It is betachan. I won't say that too much today. Trust is not talked about in terms of amount or how much, but rather in terms of doing or not doing. So emunah is about amount. How much do you have? You know, this constant. Bitakon is more immediate. You know, faith is constant. Trust is more immediate. And it paints a picture of someone who is hoping in or relying on this faith that we have in God. You know, and because we believe in God, because it's a given, then we are able to choose whether or not we can trust him or not. Okay, so David writes in Psalm 121, it's a really beautiful little moment. And he says this, "I lift up my eyes to the hills. From where will my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." Now, I've heard this sung as if the Lord's coming from the hills. But I think we misunderstand this moment. What David's saying is, I lift up my eyes to the hills. Where is my help coming from? It's not coming from the hills. It's coming from the Lord who made the hills. Because when whenever David had this moment where he needed God, he trusted that God would provide for him. David's saying, "I can lift up my eyes to the hills, but that's not my help. My help comes from the Lord." David's faith was so deep in God that the moment he needed him, he trusted that God would provide for him. You know, David had this faith, and because of this faith, he chose to trust. My question is, do you choose to trust God in such ways? When difficulty comes, when something shows up that is very difficult for you, do you choose to trust that God is going to care for you and provide in that moment? I mean, the fact is, trust is a choice. Belief is something we have. Trust is something we do and something we choose to do. Okay, I'm going to show you a video illustration. It's about 2 minutes long, but I want you to watch for something. There's a character who plays Jesus and a character who is trying to put their trust in Jesus. But I want you to ask yourself, how would you be if you were this person in this video? Let's play this video.
Jesus, I just don't trust you.
You don't trust me?
No, I mean, I want to trust you. I just don't.
I have an exercise that I think will really help you.
Oh, okay.
Stand here and face this direction. Mm-hmm. Now, do you trust me?
No, I just said I don't trust you.
All right, well, this is all part of the exercise.
Oh,
all right.
Great. Okay.
Whenever I ask you if you trust me, you say, yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Even though I don't.
It's practice.
Okay.
So, do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Are you gonna catch me?
Don't worry about that part.
Okay, that's the part I'm worried about.
You can do this, okay? Just trust me.
Trust you.
Fall back.
Okay, well, Jesus, I trust
Good.
You. Yes, I do trust you. I'm gonna fall back.
Woo! Oh, okay.
That's great.
Okay. Let's try this again. Just face this direction and keep your feet planted, all right? Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus, I trust you.
Now, fall back.
Okay, I'm gonna do it.
All right.
I'm really gonna do it.
Okay. Good.
Ah! Oh, Jesus, you really caught me! I didn't think you were gonna catch me, but you did!
Oh, that was great!
That was great!
You're ready for level two!
Level two, here
yes.
I come, baby! Woo!
Whoa!
Whoa.
Okay, hold it.
Oh, you know what? You're too close. You need to move back.
Ah, right.
Okay.
This one's a little bit different, Laura.
Oh, okay.
Stand here.
Uh-huh.
But face me.
Forward fall. Okay. I can do that.
Wait.
Whoa.
Okay. Wait for my signal.
Oh, right. The Jesus signal.
Yes. The okay. Jesus signal. Do you trust me?
Yes, Jesus. I trust you so much.
Good. Fall back.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. Especially when you do it.
Seriously?
Of course.
Okay, Jesus. I don't know if you noticed this, but there is nobody over there.
I know it looks that way to you.
Way. It is that way.
You can do this, Laura. Just trust me and fall back.
Jesus, I can't do that.
We can do it together.
I can't.
You can.
I won't.
That video got me. I was laughing just like you, and then it got to that last part, and I just thought, man. You see, trust is not just a belief. Trust is a hope. It is a reliance. Where faith is discussed in how much or how little we have, trust is something we choose to do or not to do with the faith that we have. And as we saw in this video, it might be difficult at first, but Jesus' behavior, doesn't it prove to us that he can be trusted? That we can trust more freely? But what happens is when we're asked to do something we don't understand, or we're in the middle of a situation that seems too difficult for us, trusting is not so easy anymore. Like this woman in this video, we may believe in God, we may have heard the stories, we may even have personal experiences with God. We've seen him work in our lives and the lives of others, but still we don't choose to trust in him. Because trust is hard, it's difficult. We don't want to give our trust too easy, we might look naive. And what happens if we trust God and, you know, in our minds he doesn't come through like we want, then we're going to look a little foolish. I'm saying all these things because I've been there. And what if, in the back of our mind, what if God breaks our trust? Then what? What I've learned is that trust comes when someone proves they are trustworthy. Which means that trust is realized through a relationship. Liam's not in here, so I'll tell the story. I've been trying to get him to ride his bike for a couple of years now. And he's had a couple of crashes, and it's been very difficult. In your little 7 and 8 year old mind, it's very scary when you're having to pick yourself up out of a big bike wreck. And he finally did it, you know, on Friday. It was just a great moment. We were riding around the block a couple times. It was awesome. There was a moment when he crashed, and I told him, I said, you got to get back, right back up. You got to go right back around the same thing you did so we can overcome that fear. And he didn't want to do it, and he was fighting me, and he finally said, okay, and he did it, and it was easy. He did it just fine. And later I said, Liam, do you trust me? He said, yeah, Dad, I trust you. I said, why? And we're riding the bike at this point. I said, why do you trust me? He said, because you're my dad. The children of Israel had a relationship with their father. When they cried out to him to feed them, he gave them manna. He gave them quail. He provided for them each and every day. Everyone got just enough. The rich got just enough. The poor got just enough. And these people went out day after day after day, and they chose to gather this manna. You know, they trusted that God would provide that. They had such a faith in him and his provision that he would provide. And that is, that's what he does. Jesus came, said, I am the bread of life. He's still providing for us each and every day through the bread that is his body. This is a reliance. Their trust was an action and a hope. And we exhibit that trust each day we do this. And we take this bread and drink this juice. We're hoping beyond hope. We're trusting beyond trust. We're relying on God to care for us. In Proverbs 3, the author encourages us to trust. And he says this. Let's go back there. Can you go? Yeah. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make straight your paths. If we trust God, he is going to straighten our path. He's going to make our way clear. Not us. Trust is about relinquishing control. It's about letting go. Trust is about realizing that we are not in control and choosing to accept it. And when we think we can still control things, we may have faith, we may believe, but we're not trusting. Faith acts as a springboard to our relationship with God, and that relationship is where that trust is realized, where that trust is developed, and in turn, as our trust grows, and the more we trust, the more our faith builds up inside of us. And there was a moment in that illustration when that woman, she chose not to trust. She'd seen Jesus do the work before. And he had proven to her that he was going to catch her if she fell. But you can see she was still trying to control it. Hey, Jesus, move over there. I'm good. I can do this now. You've shown me. I got it. I got it. Move back. I got it. But when Jesus asked her to do something that she couldn't see the end of, that she couldn't really control, she said no. So the question I have for you, where are you? In everything that's going on in your life, where are you? In everything that's going on in the world, where are you? Have you chosen to trust? Maybe you've only chosen to trust God with a few things. But those areas that are too big, too scary, the things we can't seem to manage on our own, we want to try to do everything we can to manage. Is that you? Maybe you don't trust because you're a person of little faith. And if you are, admit it. That's okay. That's a great place to start. God can do something with that. Maybe you have a hard time choosing to trust because you don't really have a relationship with God. Maybe you're still living out your father's faith and you've never really made it your own. Maybe you've gone through the motions, and maybe you find that it's easier to trust in other things apart from God. So the questions I'll leave you with today are these. Do you know God? Very simple question. Do you know God? Has he proven himself to be trustworthy? And have you chosen to trust in him, in yourself, or in something else? And I would say, whatever amount of faith you have, little, much, why not take this moment to make a choice and choose to trust?
You've been listening to Grapevine Church of Christ. Subscribe to the Sermon Podcast and to our other Grapevine Church podcast to hear special behind-the-scenes content. For more information, visit our website, www.grapevinechurch.com.